Veterinary technician programs have expanded in amazing ways over the past decade, and now there's a push towards getting a four-year degree, and even more advanced degrees are on the horizon. This week, we want to talk about the benefits and pros of a four-year veterinary technician degree, along with the value of a remote education, this week on The Veterinary Viewfinder. To the Veterinary Viewfinder, the podcast that tackles the toughest topics in veterinary medicine. And guys, a tough topic is, how long should our veterinary technician's education be? I mean, is it 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or beyond? This week, we've got a couple of experts to talk to us about what's happening in the veterinary technician educational programs around the country and the world, and what we can expect from history moving forward. We also want to talk about the pros and cons of a virtual or remote educational system. But before we talk about all of those systems and educational progress, as always, I am one of your veterinary hosts, Dr. Ernie Ward.
And I'm registered veterinary technician, Becky Mosser.
And Becky, this is one of those conversations that we talk in bits and pieces for a long time, you know, for the past 6-7 years as we've been doing this podcast. And that is, you know, what does it take? Why? What are the benefits? You know, all the great things around being a credentialed veterinary technician. And right now there's a big push to sort of create even new titles and roles and responsibilities. But I really want us to go back and look at what's happening with just the licensed credentialed veterinary technician programs.
Yeah, it's a big time for veterinary technicians kind of across the board, right? And we're seeing more and more opportunities across the board for veterinary technicians. We're seeing more trajectory. And with that, right, is the need to become credentialed, because there is a lot of legislation happening. There are a lot of changes happening and clarifications in roles, and veterinary technicians are working really hard for that. And so, and education is becoming more important than ever.
And we've got a guest today, Becky, that is really going to, I think, help us inform this discussion so that we can make better decisions moving forward. So tell us a little bit about this amazing guest that's joining us.
Well, so you guys have heard her name because I praise her and have since I started out at App State. And the fun thing about having your own platform is you get to invite your friends. And so I'm really excited to have Jen Serling with us today. She is the interim program director at Appalachian State University Vet Tech program. But she has a long history in veterinary technician education. She started when she was 8. So she's got 20 plus years in making future veterinary technicians. And I'm so excited she's here today. Thanks for coming today, Jen.
Thank you guys so much for inviting me. And yes, I'm still in my late 20s.
I love it. Me too. Well, Jennifer, one of the things that I want to just start off, the fact that you are an interim program director actually informs the viewfinders that things are changing, right? Things are growing. In fact, you guys, you're filling a vacancy because another program started, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's super exciting. And you know, it's funny. I had left a program director position at a brick and mortar school to take on the assistant director position at App State. And I'm like, this is great. I'm not the big cheese. You know, I can just do my own thing, and, you know, and someone else has all the responsibility. And then, yeah, Dr. Corgan left to start an amazing new opportunity at University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And we're in the midst of an accreditation visit that's coming up in September. And so I was asked to take on the interim position, and I'm like, huh, well, didn't think I'd be doing that one again, but let's do it. And actually what's funny is I'm really loving it. This team that we've got here, and I'm sure, you know, Becky's talked about it, but it's amazing. And it's, I found my passion again for leading programs and being a director of a program, and it's fabulous.
And Jennifer, one of the things too, just for the viewfinder's sake, you know, if you're not familiar with Jennifer Serling, definitely look her up. We'll have show links in the show notes for sure. But you know, I think it's fascinating, your history, your journey, and your unique perspective, because guys, what she just said is really salient to today's conversation. She was in charge of a traditional brick and mortar, regular university type setting vet tech program, and now she's actually leading the charge on a more of a virtual remote type of education. Jennifer, I think that it's really amazing that you've seen the value in both of those types of approaches, but more importantly, that you're actually bringing that perspective of this is how it works in the real world, so to speak, to the virtual world. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I do, you know, one of the things is I'm a huge proponent, one, of education, veterinary technician and technology education in general, but both serve the purposes. You absolutely have learners that need that hands-on brick and mortar, face-to-face classroom type scenario. But then, you know, as you know, one is as COVID has shown us, but also, you know, as we have different types of learners, having these online opportunities to where you can sit in your pajama pants and you can do your classes asynchronously. And then eventually when you need to do your psychomotor skills, then you go out to a clinic and do the hands-on. Having kind of these various options for the different types of learners, I think is so crucial in this day and age.
Gosh, I love that so much. And viewfinders, just a bit of context, because I think immediately when people say virtual or remote learning, they go, oh my gosh, no way, that can't work in the medical realm. Guys, it works in every realm so far. And I remember sitting, Jennifer and Becky, in a meeting back in 1999. And this was one of those, you know, we were coming up on the new millennium. And so I was going to a lot of different meetings and some vet med, but a lot of outside just business. And one of the speakers was talking about how we were about to transform the educational system in America, really around the world, but in America was what we were talking about. And Jennifer, the whole thing was saying, hey, you know what? The old way of doing things really is rapidly being replaced by technology. Now, if you rewind to 1999, we didn't have all the technology that we have today, but you can see where these really prescient folks were saying, wow, why are we parking people in expensive buildings, right? For really didactical learning. Why don't we just focus on, like you mentioned, the psychomotor elements when it's necessary, right? We can really expand the accessibility to education. So Jennifer, taking that framework of, you know, wow, this seems to be a big movement throughout all of the college education, if you will, how does it work in your world now? Like, you know, you mentioned there are times when you can be in your pajamas and other times when you need to be in the clinic. How does that actually work at App State, for example?
So, you know, we are a little bit different. If you look at some of the other online programs, we did kind of want to think a little bit outside the box. And that's one of the things that I really love about App State is we're not afraid to kind of break those molds. So while a lot of online education is asynchronous because it needs to kind of appeal to the masses, and right, and you've got a lot of non-traditional learners that are working full-time while doing school full-time, we still do keep some of those synchronous components with our freshman students to kind of introduce them to the program. And we do what's called team-based learning, because we all know veterinary medicine is a team sport. And we want the students to learn how to work together as a team and to deal with conflict resolution and to communicate well with each other. So initially, when we bring them into the program, they do have a synchronous component to it. The rest of the program is asynchronous, and they can, you know, they can do it kind of on their own time-ish. There's, you know, obviously deadlines to meet. But, you know, it's a great thing. And they have, you know, I can teach pharmacology online. I don't need to be face-to-face in order to teach it effectively. But I do think there, you know, there is the misconception with online programs, and not just vet tech, I think online programs in general, that they're easier. And that's not the case. And I actually think, coming from someone that taught in a face-to-face classroom situation and now teaching online, online's actually harder. Wow. If you really want to be an effective teacher and have an engaging class and really reach your students, that's a lot harder to do in an online situation versus when I'm in a face-to-face. I mean, I would, because I'm a very visual person, like I've got my hands moving, and I'll, you know, my previous students know I'll, you know, tap dance and, you know, be really silly in the classroom. And that's a lot harder to convey and to engage those students in an asynchronous online format.
Yeah, and Becky, you've actually had, you know, all types of education, right, in your career so far. You've had regular college classes in the classroom, and you've done online and all that stuff. How do you think it matches up? You know, do you find them comparative, or, you know, what's your take on it as a student?
Yeah, no, and honestly, my take as a student is one thing I really try to bring into my teaching, because, like, I absolutely have experienced good and bad education online and in the classroom. And it, you know, neither situation is for everyone. And that's kind of the point, is like, for so long, education has been in a box.
Right.
So as a student, I do think that it takes some more, you know, it takes more self-control. It takes more of your own ability to time manage and a lot of maturity, right? Like end of day, you just have to be mature and you have to get it done. You have to be a really good communicator. So, you know, I'm not in the classroom 3 times a week and think, oh, I need to remember to tell my instructor I'm not going to be here on Monday. You know, it's up to me to communicate across the board. So it is a different environment. But at the same time too, I think that we have an incredible learning team. And so what I want to say is just as much as every classroom doesn't look the same, every online program doesn't look the same. Right. And App State in particular has made a some groundbreaking moves to ensure that the program itself is unique, is groundbreaking, is not in that box. Like Jen said, we do team-based learning. So in my experience, there are so many things that happen in this program that I wish I had as a student. There are things that happen in this program that I can empathize with frustrations with the students. Like it is a lot. It's a lot no matter what. It's a lot if you get seated. It's a lot if you're online. And a lot of our students are working and have families and they juggle so much. And I respect that from them. So for me, I was in the position that I think a lot of our students are in where I didn't have a choice. There was no way I could work and travel and have my career and go sit in a classroom. And so that's where my motivation came from. That's how I got it done. But to me, this is also one of the major solutions to this, to the shortage. You know, I love to say, when people say, I don't have enough technicians, there aren't enough credentialed technicians, you know, my answer is you have enough staff, make right. them credentialed technicians, you right. know, and this is an opportunity to do that.
Right. And Jennifer, you know, that was what we did at our clinic in rural North Carolina back in the day. We didn't have credentialed and we wanted them. And so, you know, we were one of those early, in fact, a couple of our techs were probably the first, you know, 100 or so of those credentialed vet techs back in the day. And, you know, I'll tell you, Jennifer, the other thing, you know, when we talk about workforce shortages, you know, I think that not only can you develop them, you know, within, but I think this accessibility, you know, option really needs to be explored further because there are so many people out there that would love to be a credentialed veterinary technician, but they're in a situation or a location that makes it challenging. Let's just leave it at that. And suddenly now you've opened up the world to them. I mean, are you finding that you're seeing sort of, I don't know if you want to call it non-traditional locations, but are you finding students from all over, you know, big cities, small cities, rural, you know, and then, you know, large metropolitan? I mean, are you finding those kind of folks flooding into these programs?
We do. Yeah. There's, you know, right now, a good probably majority, you know, 90, 95% of our students are North Carolina, but they're all right. over North Carolina. And then we're seeing them from, yeah, like smaller rural towns, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky. So it is, it's kind of this hodgepodge of various different areas, but also different demographics and different age groups. So, you know, you've got, you know, your 18, 19 year old freshmen that are coming in, and then we've got, you know, 50 plus that are coming back and doing second degrees, or they've been an RVT with an associate's degree, you know, for 2 decades, and now they want to come back and they want to get their bachelor's degree and they're doing a bachelor's completion. So we don't have like this traditional cohort model. We've got right. this kind of just plethora of different learners.
Yeah. And that diversity enhances the profession. So I'm just going to leave that one there. Yep. Jennifer, I want to get your take. You know, Becky, I'm sure, is going to add a lot, but she has been a strong advocate for the need of a bachelor's degree going in. And I strongly support that as well, because it gives you so much portability and opportunity to expand later. Explain a little bit about the, you know, App State program and why you wanted to offer a bachelor's degree as part of it. I mean, explain a little bit, because I still think a lot of vets and vet techs out there view this as an associate's degree program, and maybe that's a little dated.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I think there's a lot of misconception, or maybe not realizing the benefits of a bachelor's degree in veterinary technology. But if you look at the trajectory of the human nursing, which I think is a really good kind of parallel into what veterinary technology is. And I know there's the controversy of, are we technicians? Are we nurses? And I don't want to get into that. Right, right. But if you look at kind of the profession and how it's set up, is we do parallel human nursing. And they made the leap from going to on the job trained to getting associate's degrees. And now you've got veterinary you've got human nurses that most of them now have bachelor's degrees. And then if you want to expand even more upon that, then you've got your nurse practitioners that are getting master's degrees or even doctorate degrees. Right. And I think that's the direction that veterinary technology needs to go in order to really be sustainable and to really provide our graduates with as many opportunities as they want. And to quote Becky, she says, you know, it's not a position. It's a profession, and in order to grow our profession, that education needs to be stepped up as well.
Yeah, Becky, what do you say to those folks out there that are listening and they're going, "Wow, you know, I don't know if I want to spend 4 years getting this degree." What's your counter to that?
Like, then don't. You know what I mean? Because guess what? There are a lot of people who do want to. And here's the thing that we know. Especially for veterinary technicians, because we talk about this all the time about how many opportunities there are and how an industry and how there is just ways to get out of the clinic if it's not for you anymore and to grow in this profession. Caveat is a lot of them require a bachelor's degree. Exactly. If you want to get into a lot of these higher level positions, they require a bachelor's degree. And when a bachelor's in veterinary medicine is normalized, then it will be that degree specifically they're looking for. You know, I came into this program with a master's degree because you had to have a master's degree, but I don't have a master's in veterinary technology because there isn't one yet. Well, right. You know, there really isn't one.
We're not going to talk about that yet.
So, you know, it's giving our profession the opportunity to grow within their profession in education and in clinical skills and in practice management and in One Health and in public health. And these are all areas that veterinary technicians can thrive. And it's hard when the education requirement is higher than you have access to. A lot of our students are already RVTs who are now doing their completion and have found a way to grow their education. So we have that two aspects to our program, which is really important to us. We start them out at day one, can move them through the 4-year degree. But if we have but technicians out there who already have a degree, also come to us for that completion. So they get to have a higher education that qualifies them for these better positions. And that is breaking the glass ceiling that we're hitting so much in our profession.
Yeah. And guys, if you're listening today, just having that bachelor's degree affords you so many other opportunities because you could then springboard into a master's program like Jennifer and Becky are saying, right? I mean, that without that, if you just have a 2-year degree, well, you decide you want to make a career change, guess what? You're going to be right back in that classroom or virtual online trying to figure out how to get that bachelor's degree. Jennifer, when we talk about cost too, you know, I think that's been one of the concerns just from an overall, like, you know, how do we make it more accessible? But what advantages or not do remote, you know, learning programs have over a traditional, you know, university setting, if you will?
Well, you know, obviously the flexibility of kind of being able to do classes on your own time and that you can hold down, you know, a part-time or full-time job while doing the program, which, you know, again, a good chunk of our students do, because you can, you know, you can work full-time during the day and then, you know, at night you can then go and, you know, go in online and go on the LMS and you can do your classes, which, like I said, a lot of them are doing. And I want to go back to kind of what both you and Becky have said in regards to, you know, the benefit of a bachelor's degree. I'm hitting 32 years this year as a credentialed technician. I got my bachelor's degree. I actually then went back, got my associate's in veterinary technology. I'm currently working on my master's, but if I had not had that bachelor's degree, I would not be where I'm at today.
Right.
And I think whether or not you want to do it in veterinary technology, because I know this is kind of sounding like an App State commercial, and while I'm huge, you know, plus, you know, yay App State, I also want to just really hone in on the benefits of a bachelor's degree in general, right? Because we've got to elevate ourselves. And if you want to make this a lifelong career and you don't want to necessarily be pigeonholed into, you know, working in a GP practice forever, and you want to do these amazing things, you need that bachelor's degree to afford you those opportunities.
Yeah. And Jennifer, I'd like for you just to speak also to those skeptics out there, because I think that they don't quite understand how big online nursing programs are in the human medical field. I mean, you know, we're used to it, guys. I mean, Becky and I live right on the border with South Carolina, so the University of South Carolina has a fantastic nursing program, and it's online as well. And, you know, Jennifer, I mean, give some context, right? I mean, this is not unique to vet medicine. This is a big deal in human nursing.
Oh yeah, there's hundreds of human nursing programs. One of my best friends who lives in Michigan teaches at one online there, and it's massive, and it's not a new thing for the human nursing to have online education. So it wasn't like we were reinventing the wheel to have to do this. It's already been done. It's already been established, and it's been done well. So we're just basically taking it and we're tweaking it to veterinary medicine and veterinary nursing and veterinary technology. But, you know, as I said earlier, I absolutely can teach these topics online, but you do need that hands-on component. I mean, nobody wants to hire a technician that hasn't ever touched an animal before. So, you know, I am thankful that it's this kind of beautiful blend of the didactic portion is, you know, in your, as I like to say, in my pajama pants online, but then you are going to the clinic and you get to apply that knowledge that you've learned. And you get to be like, oh my gosh, wow, now I get to draw blood from a dog, or I get to, you know, put a halter on and give injections to a horse. And it's amazing to see that light bulb moment when you transition from online learner to hands-on learner.
Right, right. And to clarify, guys, I mean, we're talking for human nursing. These are the BSNs that you see when you go to the hospital, right? So they are going through an online nursing program. They are, of course, they have to do their licensing. So that's a slightly different thing. You know, obviously your education just allows you to sit for these licenses. But I mean, Jennifer, for some reason, you know, that's not even a debate anymore on the human side, but yet it seems highly contentious on the vet side. How do we get to the other side of this? Is it just based on time, just more and more folks doing it, and you seeing the successful outcomes? I mean, what do you think it's going to take to get us to accept it like it is accepted in human medicine?
I think, you know, with programs like App State and with us kind of breaking that glass ceiling and showing that it can be done well, and it can be done to where we are graduating really good students that are going to become amazing credentialed technicians. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. So we have to be the ones that kind of step it up, and that we have to say, this is the curriculum that we want to teach. This is what we're going to be doing. This is why we're setting ourselves apart. And we're going to be graduating in amazing technicians that are going to be taking their boards and going out there and changing the profession and elevating it even more. So we have our work to do in order to prove ourselves to the veterinary community. And I do think it's changing, because there are a ton now of online programs, and we just keep getting better and better and better. And, you know, whoever is coming up, you know, after us, I think is going to look at App State and say, wow, they did that great, but I'm going to do it even, you know, I'm going to do it even differently, or do it not necessarily better, because I think we're great, but they're going to look at our model and say, yeah, that was fabulous, but I also want to add this of ways that we didn't even think of. So, you know, we're all kind of working together to raise that bar.
Oh yeah, Jennifer, this ladders up. I mean, and even if another program in 5 years comes along and they've got some completely innovative technology or approach, guess what? App State's going to respond, right? I mean, this is,
heck yeah.
It always gets better. I mean, you know, the educational system today, and look, we can debate the flaws and shortcomings all we want, but it's so much better today in 2024 than it was in 1974, right? I mean, I will argue that till the end of time, simply because we have better methods. We, like Jennifer said at the very beginning of this conversation, it's just recognizing that people learn differently, right? I mean, when I was in school and college, you know, Jennifer, there was one way and it was that way. And basically you had a lecturer in front of you who was reciting notes and you had to take them down as quickly as possible and hope you got it. And what you didn't get, you turned to your partner and said, what did he say? You know, and then that's not good. And so I think we have so many opportunities to improve it. Jennifer, sort of as we wrap up today, how do you see, you know, obviously we're focused now from here on out on a bachelor's in veterinary technology moving forward. How does that set us up for these newer things that are being talked about, next level, mid-level practitioners, blah, blah, blah? I mean, you know, I don't want to get into that debate, but how do you think that this actually moves progress in veterinary profession in general?
So I do think, you know, like I had said earlier, I do think we do kind of parallel human nursing. And I do think that there is a need for technicians to be able to progress and to move forward and to do different things. And so I do think having a bachelor's in technology sets them up so that if we do end up with kind of another level of credentialed veterinary technician in like a mid-level type role, that's where I'd like to see it go. I'd like to see us have that nurse practitioner role. I don't necessarily want a whole brand new position, but I think we need to look at ways of how can we make this a profitable career choice to where, you know, you don't have to have a second job and that you can, you know, you can do this amazing profession and earn a decent living at it. But then also, how can I grow? Because we all want it. We don't want to stay stagnant. We want to be able to keep growing and keep learning. And by having that bachelor's degree that could potentially end up into a mid-level practitioner, nurse practitioner type of degree, I think it's a natural segue.
Becky, any last thoughts about the importance of getting that bachelor's degree moving forward? I mean, you know, obviously that's something that's foundational for you, but any last bits of advice to that person who's listening to say, you know, this one over here is only a couple of years. I don't see why I'd spend more time. Give me that last pitch to say, this is actually your future.
Well, I guess number one, the first thing is education is not proprietary. You know, find what your fit is and, you know, don't be afraid to try something new if you want to do better and you want to be advanced in this profession because you love the profession. This is the best next step for you to have the opportunities that are coming along the pipeline in our profession, which is growing every day. So, you know, 7 years ago, I was telling you, you know, you need to get credentialed because change is coming and we see that. And I'm telling you now, you're going to want higher education because change is coming. So go get it, come get it where you can get it. Just and be proud of it. It's hard work. And, you know, don't let the haters and the you know, don't let the water get in the boat, right? That's the only reason ships sink. So if it's something you want to do and it feels right for you, don't worry about what other people say.
Wow, I love this conversation so much. Guys, thank you so much, Jennifer Serling, Interim Program Director at Appalachian State Veterinary Technician Program. Jennifer, thank you so much for taking time and really talking about a topic that we need to be talking more about. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, guys. This was so much fun.
Well, guys, that I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I mean, this is a really important shift in the veterinary profession, in my opinion. This movement and progress towards a 4-year veterinary technician degree, which I think sets us up for future success and really elevates the profession in general. We'd like to hear your thoughts on it. Becky, how can they share their thoughts on this stuff?
Well, you can share your educated thoughts with me. If they're not, I'm going to tell you where to go get some education over on Facebook and Instagram at Veterinary Viewfinder. You can send me an email at veterinaryviewfinder@gmail.com.
And guys, we'll have all kind of links in the show notes about App State's program, Jennifer Serling. And of course, you know, if you want to learn more, definitely we encourage you to reach out because there is so much happening so fast. Guys, until next week, stay on top of things, be safe, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.